Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Good morning, church. I bring you greetings this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank all of you who are faithful to come to the Upper Venue, a great place to worship and drink coffee. All of those who are at Bedside Manor today, watching online, God bless you. And if you could have made it, you should have. No, God bless you. We're so happy that all of you are here. We have a guest with us from our church in the Philippines, one of our great worship leaders, Lee. Won't you stand and wave your hand at the people so they can see. I won't stand up so they can see you. We would let his gift loose this morning, but we wouldn't get to the word if we did so. I want to thank you guys for your patience and your gifts to our Bethel Build. Just let you know, progress is going on. We're going to be finishing up this week on the side, the Upper Venue side, the irritating side, the side that won't finish. Just, you know, they told me they're going to finish that, and that's a sign that we'll get this entrance down here at Granny White widened. Because what I noticed when y'all going out, you just stop because that turn is not quite right. I just wanted to say that to let you know I do know that it's crazy. But God bless you for coming to church anyway and driving your nice car over the curve. God bless you, you curve drivers, you. So we just thank God for everybody's faithfulness in giving. And it's still opportunities to give as long as you see unfinished work. So if you just want, I wonder if they through, get, you know, what the need. No, we're not through. We need you. But we're moving forward. Can we just take a moment and let's pray together and we'll get right into the word. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege to know you, to be known by you, and to actually draw closer. I pray, God, as a result of what is ministered today, that we can all, as a body of believers, get closer to you. God, I'm asking, God, that you would do the supernatural work with this natural man, James, that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let the word to my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. Every glad heart say amen. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 13 verse. Also, give me 2 Corinthians 1. At some point, I don't know when, through the grace of God, we may hit 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Today, I'm continuing on sermon number 2 in the God's Not Dead too serious. I think Pastor Rice did a wonderful job of the first message reminding us that science and faith are not competing. God is not dead just because it's clear you couldn't have what we have without God. Today's message picks up on some of the emotional pain that we saw are articulated or demonstrated in the movie with a young girl who had lost a loved one, and it caused her, because she came from a family that didn't even know God, to be searching for God. So she had the pain overall that exists in life. The pain that was caused by sin, the pain that caused a curse to come, the pain that caused affliction, death, all of that stuff, all of that pain, she has it, but she has no answer, okay? Then you have the teacher who gave her the answer, which was Jesus, being persecuted by the school, by the community, and ultimately in court because of her faith, and she has the pain of simply being a believer. There's a pain that you can experience when you're without God and a pain you can experience when you're with God, but the only person who is qualified to bring you comfort in that pain is Jesus Christ. You can't find it outside of him. So comfort today comes when suffering comes, comfort comes. When pain comes, Jesus comes. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. If trouble is a part of your narrative in your life, good news. Comfort from Jesus is a part of your life. Now, we can in this message find God and the comfort that comes from God, but we're still humans. The Bible says it wasn't good for man to live alone. God made him a helper suitable. In other words, God built us for camaraderie and partnership with one another. You need other humans. You need to know who else is going through this. Who else made it through this? And who else am I getting closer to on earth that I can draw faith from, hope from, experience from? And then ultimately, the suffering should make us all better Christ followers or Christians or the building of Christianity. So suffering brings you comfort that can only come from God. Suffering reminds you that you are not alone, that the body of Christ, all believers, even in Upper Vineyard, even online, all of us are suffering the same thing, and we need camaraderie with one another to kind of overcome and be encouraged. And ultimately, we're becoming better Christians or Christ followers as a result. Okay, so 1 Peter 3 says it this way. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. I don't like this scripture because when I do what's right, I don't want to suffer. In fact, I want to be blessed without the suffering because I did what was right. I don't even know how that's possible. To do what's right and suffer and then but you blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience that those that speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than evil. Now, look, here's what the whole message has a little depression theme on it. So I'm going to try to lift you up. So if you find yourself getting, oh, God, I'm going down. You know, you got to listen to every word in the message to be brought up. Like if you snooze, you will leave lost. Okay? Pain. How many love pain? I went to the dentist this week to get a procedure. And I knew that this wasn't going to go right when she said, you know, sit down, we're going to give you a shot in your gums, the most sensitive part on your body. It's not going to hurt. I said, any pain? Just a little bit. I said, no, you understand. I don't want a little. I don't want a lot. I don't want any pain. In fact, if it's going to be painful, I'm not doing the procedure today. How about that? Y'all like that? Y'all could have scheduled somebody else. How are you going to fix this? Because I'm not going through pain. She said, well, Con said, what else you got? She said, well, we got some gas. I said, I'll take some gas. So do they sit you down under this gas? And it, first of all, it's a wonderfully saved experience. Now, hallelujah. I'm gonna tell you, God is in that gas. God is, I mean, I just don't even know that how they invented something like that. You go in so quick. You know, she was saying, like, do you feel it? I said, well, I don't know what you're doing, but it feels good to me. Keep going. Oh, God. That gas. And I said, I guess, is this legal? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if I could take one of them canisters home. Y'all know. Woo, because you float and you feel all that goodness. But this is beside the point, but I did get convicted at some point. I got convicted because it was feeling so good. And I don't like the sound of the drill. So when they turn that drill on before they get in your mouth, I just take in an extra breath. I don't feel nothing. I said, now, I don't know if that part was legal. I think that was borderline sin, excessive sniffing of the gas. But look, Look at the lengths I went to not to experience pain. It's real. We've lost loved ones, and the pain can exist years later. The questions why can come up still today. You know, the why is such an unacceptable answer to us, like, you know, because of sin and different. We don't like that. It's like God did something wrong. God didn't sin, we sin. And it produced a calamity on the earth that allows evil to penetrate. And we're always concerned about the pain as a result of sin or the evil that's done to us. We're not as concerned, by the way, of the evil that we do. You know, I just don't want nobody to be evil to me. Being evil to other people, well, that's just what they have to deal with. In fact, I was ministering to an atheist in India on our mission trip, which is amazing to find an atheist when all of the nation believes in millions of gods. But I found him, and he thought he had me on the ropes for hours, because I listened for hours of him tell me why being an atheist was the best faith. And I said, well, do you believe that there's any right and wrong? He said, no. I said, do you believe that people should go to jail for doing crimes? He said, no. Now this really happened, what I'm about to say. I said this. I don't know if I would have said it if I wasn't on a mission field ministering to somebody trying to help them, but I said it. So I said to him, okay, what if somebody slapped your mama? What you think about them? He said, oh, no, I'm going to kill somebody that slapped my mama. I said, see, you want, I said, why? He said, because I want justice. See, he thinks there should be penalties. And if life has no meaning, and life has no purpose, and life has no God, then why are you seeking out justice of any kind? You see, we're all trying to do the same thing, avoid pain, but pain actually points to our need for God. And everything in the message, every point of suffering, is going to bring you back to needing God for comfort. Everybody remembers where they were at 9/11. I mean, 2001, when the Trade Center bombing hit. And you know, the thing that, it's not just the people who died on the aircraft or died in the building or the families that were affected. We all were affected, especially as Americans, because we felt the vulnerableness. We felt, man, something can touch me. See, when you're a Christian, there's this invulnerability. You feel like something's not supposed to be able to get to you, that you're inoculated. You should not experience any levels of pain. God didn't say pain wouldn't get to you. He just said that he would deliver you from the pain. So I said, don't go all the way down, because I'm going to bring you up at some point. Okay? Pain is this unavoidable thing in life. You know, before I got married, I remember maybe 20 years old, and I was saying a prayer to God, and, you know, I decided that Debbie was going to be the one, and I made this list of things. I said this to God. I said, God, if I do all this stuff right, I made a list. I wrote it out. I said, then I can avoid all of the pains that I see other people experiencing in their marriage. If I do it all right, I don't expect to get wrong. And if I'm going to get wrong, I don't want to get married. Because I don't want pain. I was really saying, Lord, if I do all this right, you're going to make her obey me, right? That's the real truth. Come on now. I've been married 20 years. You can tell the truth after long, you just start telling it all. Yeah, in the beginning, I wasn't thinking straight. And I felt like the Lord said, yes, go ahead and get married. But he didn't remove any of the pain. Because pain is a result of the fall, And all of that is supposed to point to your need for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, for the hand of God, for the comfort of God, for the help of God. God is here to help you and comfort you in every trial. And you can't avoid it, James Lowe. Whether you don't know him and you have pain, it's going to lead you to him, like the young lady who lost her brother in the movie, or whether you're the teacher who's doing everything right and don't understand how wrong can happen, it was leading her closer to Christ. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to start at the third verse. Let me contextualize for you what is going on. Here we have Paul, who started this church, who in 1 Corinthians had heard about different problems in the church that he started, wrote back to them in the first letter, didn't correct every one of the problems. He actually had to write them a stronger letter back. He ends up being in Ephesus, hearing about other things that's going on. So Paul is writing back after the relationship that was turbulent. It's kind of starting back up. What was turbulent about it? Well, he was being discredited as an apostle, as a founding minister of the church. He was being called a liar. He was being called somebody who was doing his work for money. And his authenticity seemed to be in question. And Paul had constantly been in conflict for the benefit of the church. And now he's writing to them in 2 Corinthians when they're going through some struggles, and he's relating to them, and he's relating God's purpose in those struggles and how they come out as believers together. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. See, the Bible says in Lamentations that his mercies are unending, that his mercy is new every morning, that every day we wake up, we need his mercy. Every day we wake up is a gift from God. And no matter what the pain of society, the pain of loss, the pain of sickness, the self-inflicted pain, you need all kinds of comfort, and it only comes from God. He has not allowed anyone else to be the source of your answer. You might take medicine, and it might temporarily heal or the ailment, but it won't take away your need for a Savior that can alleviate the pain longer or allow you the strength to endure the pain. You need God. Comfort in this first verse, when you even go to verse 4, who comforts us in our affliction or our trouble or our stress or our depression or our oppression, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort we ourselves have been comforted with by God. Do you understand this comfort is synonymous with that word paraclete? And this meant to come alongside to help or to be the helper or to make one brave. It's not about taking away the pain. It's allowing you to stand within the pain because you're not standing alone. He didn't remove Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. He just joined them in the fire. He didn't remove Daniel from the lion's den. He just joined Daniel in the lion's den. It's not about God taking away the pain that comes from being a citizen of the world. But no, he is coming alongside you to say, though you slay me, yet can I trust you. He's here to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God is not calling you to back down, but to stand up and be brave. And as you be brave, he's stepping in front of you. He's standing alongside of you. He's bringing the help you need, the comfort. But you've got to lean to him. And sometimes until something calamitous happens, like 9/11 or some type of negative happens in the world, we don't run to the church. We don't run to God. God is trying to wake us up. Some of us saying, well, I don't feel any persecution because we're not advancing the kingdom. See, persecution will come the very moment that you advance the kingdom. It will come the very moment you advance the kingdom. Why would anybody have a problem with a steeple being built Why would anybody have a problem with a saving center, a place that's going to do funerals and weddings and hand out benevolence and preach the good news? Why would somebody think that a curse instead of a blessing? It's persecution when you start to build the kingdom of God. It's persecution when you start a Bible study at work. It's persecution when you look at your HR rules and you say there's nothing prohibiting you from being a believer at work. But when you receive pressure, you become silent instead of standing up for your right to say something. It's nothing wrong with you going to your school that is teaching things that are completely opposite of your faith and say, I don't want my child to learn that. I don't want my child to go through that. So I'm standing right here until you change it. I'm not there to fight you. I'm not there to, you know, come to blows with you. You know you're ready to fight when it swing. Right there, that's like, come too close. You'll catch one. He makes you brave to know his righteous rules. Say, I'm standing on it. He makes you able to stand, Paul, when people are against you. When the people don't like what you have to say, when the Jews are plotting to kill your life, when they rejected your counsel within the church, when they question your authenticity, when they question all of your motives, it cannot question or stop your stand up for Christ. Because I'm going to say, and the result is you drawing near to God when you do that, and God draws near to you. God said, I got you. What are we doing? So you ask the question, how could I take it if I was persecuted? It's because God comes and shows up in the midst of your weakness and lets you stand up. I am not that strong. Because see, what God will let you do is punch out of your strength. He'll let you just do all that juking, and then you got to fight 10 people. Now what's up? You got to call on him. He brings you comfort when you call on him. Suffering that they used to do when they wanted to really make people suffer, they would take a stone and they would lay it on people's chest, and they would take another stone until it just caved in. See, the pressure and the affliction that Paul was facing, that you are facing as a believer, is the type that's designed to break you. I love that God, when we go to verse 6, is not just letting suffering produce a divine comfort of him showing up. He allows other human beings to show up and build camaraderie with you, or likeness, or like fellowship. We're going through the same things, the same way. You're not alone in this battle. 6, if we are afflicted, or if we are troubled, if we are pressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which we experience when we patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. In other words, I'm going through, y'all, so that you can know you can make it. I'm going through affliction that you should anticipate, because whatever affliction they gave our Savior is the same affliction they're going to give you. And I got news for you. You can't avoid this. As you lead toward being a Christ follower, you're going to suffer some affliction at times. But for every affliction, there is comfort. And he goes on to say that it's abundant in the comfort. I remember saying to the Lord what I thought was a real spiritual prayer, but it ended up being a little, I didn't know what I was asking for. You know, saying stuff like, Lord, use me. Use me, Jesus. I can remember being in prayer meetings and just, Father, use me, whatever you want to do with me, Lord. I surrender. I was singing all them songs. I surrender. Just take it all out of me. And then he take you up on that. Then you start saying, Lord, I don't surrender. I changed my mind. Give me a moment. Maybe next year. Let somebody else be used. See how I change up? I'm going through. And whenever you're going through sickness, when you got a cold, you're the only person with a cold. Get the right, give me some soup. Oh, somebody help me. You forget, when you're in pain, you forget everybody else's pain. They don't matter. I'm in pain. Help me. Even though your suffering is designed to produce a certain availability to others, a camaraderie. Well, how can Paul, I can't stand when them old preachers, them old self-righteous sons of guns, they think they got everything going on. They just hope so, they look at them and preach the scriptures. Yes, God gave you special grace, Paul. Pastor James, yes, you were built to last. I'm not built that strong. I'm not built that, I already told y'all what happened to me at the dentist. I'm not built for pain. I avoid pain. I decided today I was going to be like Paul and be vulnerable. I'm not going to act like I've got supernatural strength. Paul is somebody who could preach this message to them and help them feel like they were in the game, because 2 Corinthians 11:23 says it like this way. Am I talking like a madman? I've been in far greater labors than all of y'all, far more imprisonments than all of you. I've had countless beatings. You see, there's beatings that you remember that your parents give you, not whippings, beatings. And you can remember them because they were severe, they were bad. When Paul said they were countless, that means it's all looked like this one long whooping that never ended. Often near death. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Or a switch. That's for some of the old saints who still got whoopings and they mad at their parents. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. A sign that I could make it in the ocean at least a night and a day. That's what I decided from that scripture. Frequent journeys. Danger from rivers. Danger from robbers. Dangers from my own kinfolk, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, where he's going to go, danger in the sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty, and often without food. And that's when I gave up the ghost and left the faith. Left. I got to go home and think about it, Lord. When you hungry, that'll make you adjust your belief system. Well, I don't eat pork. Be hungry a good 10 days. You're going to start eating pork. Yeah, the Lord, I chew the cud. Cold. Cold. Exposure. Apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I love that part. All this the brother is going through, and he's thinking about his comrades. He's thinking about the fellow saints. He's thinking about the people of God. He's counting his pressure in alignment with the other people who is going through pressure, and he's not upgrading himself. It feels as if he's downgrading himself, and he's the bomb. Nobody's been going through all of that stuff. And he's not quitting. He's receiving the comfort of God at such an abundant level because of his affliction that his revelation is increasing about who Jesus is. His commitment to the gospel is increasing. And he's becoming the one thing that each and every one of us are here to become, a greater Christian. Paul, being a part of the faith, is becoming better at Christianity, not worse. Sometimes the longer we live as Christians and we experience the pressure and the pain, we start getting worse because we realize it's not going away. Then we start second-guessing whether we should have done it so early because we should have got some other sins in or something like that. I don't know, you know, because if God is not going to deliver us, might as well have a little bit more to be delivered from. Dismal, devilish thoughts that come to us because of pressure. Because of affliction. Affliction will make you go kind of insane, a little loopy. Well, I don't know if he's not going to help me, then I'll help myself. You know, y'all better give me that medicine. Give me that stuff. I've been in the doctor when you've been trying to tell people you're in pain and nobody's listening, and you start saying, you better stick me with something before I stick myself. Christianity is produced through suffering. Those apostles that birthed Christianity, they dealt with the pain, but it was our gain. Indeed, verse 9, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. See, the cross is what changes everything. It's not that Jesus took the pain. He got what verse 10, it says he got God to raise him up from the dead in verse 9. Verse 10 says he delivered us from such a deadly peril and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. In other words, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? That he's a very present help in the time of trouble. That I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I'm here to be a Christ follower. For Christ I live or for Christ I die. It doesn't make a difference to me what he's asking me to do or give up. I'm here to live again. This life is just an opportunity for me. It's only a momentary light affliction. It's working in me a more eternal weight of glory. I'm not going to think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that I'm in the upper vineyard, which is to try me. I'm not going to think it's strange that I'm going through temptation or struggle. I'm going to count it all joy when I go through struggles and temptation. I'm going to be like Paul and I'm going to praise him because I'm here for a purpose, to be a Christ follower. I am discipled to be a Christ follower. I avoid the penalty of pain by being a Christ follower. And if that's not enough, I love how he ends it all. In verse 11, I love verse 11 connects the comfort of God and the camaraderie of man. And it shows you what the Christian faith should be doing at all times. You also must help us by prayer. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on behalf of for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Isn't it funny? My house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. Prayer, we kind of say stuff like, I did all I could do. Just the only thing left to do is pray. Prayer is the first thing, but it's the last thing on our mind. Prayer is where God empowers you. Prayer is where God comforts you. Prayer is what Jesus was doing in the garden when he was praying, and it was like sweats of blood and the pressure and the suffering servant. He was at that point where he was near unto death, but his answer was to pray, and he received the strength from God. And even if man doesn't bring you camaraderie, you still can get the comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit who comforts us in all our afflictions. I'm here to tell you that suffering is not supposed to break you. Suffering makes you closer to God, closer to loving humanity the way you should, and a greater Christian, a soldier in the army of the Lord. We need to stop worrying about what the world can do to us and stand up and take our rightful place in this kingdom, God's kingdom, as Christians, standing up in government, standing up in schools, standing up in work, standing up in communities. But it's time to stand up. Stop worrying about what's going to happen to you. Guess what? Persecution's going to come if you don't advance the kingdom. Persecution will come if you do advance the kingdom. God is for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God is using you to bring miraculous things to pass.
So, beloved, the most, you stand to your feet. The thing that is most troubling to me is that in a world seemingly going left and don't know which way right is, where's the voice of the church? Where's the voice of our leadership? Who's told you that you should be silent? And if the next Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. don't stand up, guess what? He got a church of a few thousand right here that will stand up for his name. He got a church that will honor those who have gone before us and laid down their life that we can have a new and living way. So many people laid down so we can stand up. What are we willing to do for the next generation? Stop being so worried about how many things can make your life comfortable and start enjoying the comfort that comes from the God who visits you in your persecution. Bow your head, close your eyes. Ministry team, you can come down. Today, I want you to put your hand on someone's shoulder if they let you. And I want to pray for you. Because the person that's in this room with you, they actually need some encouragement. They weren't able to tell you. They're going through pain. And you're their comrade. You're here to remind them that the comfort comes from the Lord. You're here to remind them that we're here with a godly assignment to do. Maybe they haven't made Jesus Lord of their life and they're like the little atheist in the movie. You're going to comfort them today. They're going to come to Christ and know his comfort. Maybe they just need to know another brother or sister is going through and you're there for them. You're going to bring comfort. Maybe they just needed to know, be reminded, being a Christian and standing up, pushing back, advancing the kingdom. Lord, as we leave this place, we pray you go with us. In the upper venue, go with us. In this congregation here, go with us. Online, go with us. Bless us. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Give God a hand clap of praise.